The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid,
to take a stand, See you live off the record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Apple Communication, Burger King, Collect, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance. The cold, the warm.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful, however overcast, Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that all is well with you and yours. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can also call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. Where do we start? Of course, we start with some of the more topical things in the country. And one of those is following upon the majority rule celebrations and the church service that was held at Zion Baptist Church, where Reverend T.G. Morrison is the pastor, and he delivered the keynote address at that service. He had some quite interesting things to say on that occasion. I know lots of people have talked about his comments about some school at which Haitian children wave a flag in the face of and dare them to do something about it. I will not take that up at the moment, even though I am going to take it up. But he had some other things to say, some more foundational things to say that I do want to start with. So according to what I heard and according to what I read from the Nassau Guardian's Tamika Thompson's article on warning on illegal migration, it's the article quotes Reverend Dr. T.G. Morrison as saying this. May I say, let me back up. He says that leaders must find the political will to stem the flow of migration. They must find the political will to stem the flow. Now, in the article, let me read the whole quote from Dr. Morrison, okay? He says, may I say the politically incorrect thing, that which is the existential threat to our jeweled Bahamas is illegal migration that does not have any stop system. Those of us who seemingly lack the political will to stem the tide. Okay. So that's where I wanted to start. So if you read or listen to that, it seems like that Dr. Morrison is saying that there is a lack of political will to stem the tide of illegal. I want you to consider that for a moment now. And of course, I know how many of you out there listening, how passionate you feel about the illegal immigration issues that we have. But I know how challenging sometimes it is to get beyond that passion, to just think through it. But anyways, we'll try. He says that he suggests that there is a lack of political will. Now, I want to ask you all a question. I mean, is there anyone out there who thinks that if Philip Brave Davis, Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, could stop the flow of illegal immigrants to the Bahamas, he would not do so? Do we actually believe that he wouldn't do that? That who believe that a man who is a political personality, head of a political party, wanting to retain power, knowing how unpopular illegal immigration is in the Bahamas, if he could stop the flow, if he could stem the flow of illegal immigrants to the Bahamas, would not do so? Believes that he does not have that will? Believes that Dr. Hubert Minnis didn't have that will? Believes that Perry Christie didn't have the will to do that? The will? Believes that Hubert Alexander Ingram did not have the will to do that? Believe that Sir Lyndon Pinion didn't have the will to do that? Does anybody believe that they did not have the will? Forget the means for the moment. Let's not even talk about the means. But knowing how Bahamians about this, in particular, Haitian illegal immigration problem, that those political leaders would not have relished, salivated at the prospect of saying, I am the prime minister who slowed significantly the tide of illegal immigrants to the Bahamas. Any single one of that, before I go on and anywhere else, I'm asking you, does anyone believe that they would not do so if they could? That they lack the will to do that? Anyone? Really? I mean, like, seriously. I mean, I think that if you did that, that alone would get you a re-election in your next campaign. That alone. I believe that if an opposition right now credibly said to voters, that when I get in office, that there, that's done. They get in office. Does anybody agree with me or disagree with me? This text says, great show as usual. Say Biden can't stop illegal immigration, so what the hell people expect Brave to do? I even don't want to get there. I don't even want to get there yet. I don't want to get to what is the case. I'm asking the question. Does anyone believe that any of those prime ministers of this country to date, any of those administrations to date, if they could stop the flow of illegal immigrants to the Bahamas, would not do so? Anybody believe that? That's what I'm asking today. Do you believe that? Say, thank you very much, Mr. Lang. I told my co-workers the same thing this morning. In my opinion, it was a reckless statement. I'm not even going to make a value judgment about it. I want to get at a factual basis for it. A factual basis. Listen, greatly respect Dr. T.G. Morrison. Marvelous diviner of the gospel. I'd love to listen to him. He
you know, this is, we on these shows, we listen, we take up, and we analyze. So this is what I'm doing today, and I'm asking. See, I sat in two administrations. I mean, under one prime minister, but in two administrations because they were not consecutive. And so I'm asking, does anyone believe a group of men and women sitting around a cabinet table with a solution to stop the stem, to stem or to stop the tide of illegal immigrants in the Bahamas would simply go, well, why would we do that? I'm not stopping that. I don't want to do that. I have no desire to do that. Really? Does anyone believe that? I'm waiting for y'all. Text me, call me, tell me they did not have the will to do that. I'm not saying were they ineffective. But do you honestly believe that these men and women who fought to get power, all of whom fight to keep power, that did not know and understand that if you could report, you all realize there's not a single illegal immigrant or only a couple of illegal immigrants are now getting into the Bahamas, would not be delighted to be the party, the administration, and say, oh yeah, we did that. Anyone? I'm waiting. 323-6232. 325-4316. Anyone? 242-300-5720. Anyone? You can text 422-4796. Anyone? What's up? 439-3043. Anyone believes that? In the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? That what we have in our illegal immigration issue is a lack of political will. I will talk to you about maybe what I think is a lack of political will. Well, let me tell you something. There's a couple of things. If you see government of the Bahamas could do, let me tell you something. There would be no... If government of the Bahamas could put every Bahamian to work today, boom, that would be done. If government of the Bahamas could explode this economy in terms of growth, boom, it would be done. If government of the Bahamas could pay off your national debt today, boom, it would be done. If government of the Bahamas could stop illegal immigrants to the Bahamas, boy, let me tell you something, they would do that, and they'd be looking to be in power this term, next term, the term after that, and the term after that. But they know how Bahamians go about illegal immigration. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, go ahead, caller.
All right. Like you were saying, we don't believe that he has the will to stop it. But he does live it. When you say, I've seen a person who cannot speak English holding a Bahamian passport. It isn't much curving inside that. Hello? Are you there? Hello?
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Hi, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm so sorry we just had some glitch there for a moment. Do we have the call on the line still?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to appreciate what you're saying. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, all I was saying, my main point was just that they are lacking the ability to curb the immigration problem.
Okay, like, the ability, not the will, the ability.
Even the will. It's like, back in the 90s when you used to see, the immigration buses, stopping the jitneys, taking people off and stuff, they don't do that anymore.
No, okay, but now let's see. This is very important to me on Z Live, because if we're going to have a dialogue about things, we have to be able to have clarity about it. Okay, so picking up illegal immigrants means that the immigrant is already in your country. That has stemmed nothing. All that keeps you doing is recycling. The issue is, do they lack the will to stop them from coming?
All
That's
right.
the question.
All right. To my point, even on that point, I believe it's 2 years ago when we found out that there were passports being issued inside Haiti.
But that's corruption, though. That's corruption. We're talking, he made a specific reference to political leadership. The people who are in government are not the politicians. They are civil servants. But the political will belongs to the cabinet of the Bahamas, the cabinet ministers.
Okay, understood.
All right, so this is why we have to have clarity on these things. So his point is lack the political will. And I'm saying to you, you sound like a very sensible person. You believe that if a prime minister could say, I stop illegal immigrants from coming in the Bahamas, he wouldn't want to do that? He left? Okay, I think we lost him. So let's be clear on the matter now. See, we have to separate our thoughts on it. So corruption is one thing. Ineffective rounding up after they landed is one thing. But stopping them means that somehow I found the means to prevent you from getting off the island of Hispaniola. That's what I did. Or if you got off that island, I stopped you from getting on any island in the Bahamas. Hello? All right, so that's what we're talking about here. This text says, yeah, they have the will, but only pertaining to the black illegal immigrants. Wow. Because some illegals set in gated areas, but they get a pass. The line, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, how are you, Mr. Lang?
Hey, I'm good, how are you?
I'm fantastic. So listen, I had to call in today, just driving here and listening to your show.
Okay.
Lang, do you have, are you a work permit holder?
No, I'm not a work permit holder, no.
Okay, so have you ever hired anybody and had them on the work permit?
No, I've not. No.
All right, so I have quite a few people that I have hired. Okay. I could talk to you about 2023. So 2023, I have work permits for two gentlemen. Everybody else that works for me is Bahamian, right? Last year, I had my office staff go to immigration about 8 times to get their work permit, their actual copy. They were totally backed up, which I can understand. Now, mm-hmm. I do a lot of work in Abaco, right?
Right.
In Abaco, let's say January, February of 2023, you would have one Haitian will pop up on your job site looking for a job. Then the next day, another Haitian. Some days you get 2, 3, 4 Haitians. And I ask them, do you have your work permit? No, I got my work permit now. Now, these are people that have just touched down in the Bahamas, right?
Right.
Just landed. No work permit whatsoever.
Right.
And those people that have no work permit now, will have a work permit in hand before I can go ahead and renew my work permits for the two guys that I have now. So I said to myself, this is absolutely crazy, because I keep working there and I start seeing all of these new faces, people popping up all the time, and I'm saying to myself, So I started talking to these guys, and I said, "Well, how do you get that? How do you get your work permit so quickly?" Oh, well, this guy has a guy, and this guy signs for this person, and you have, like, I know a gentleman that has signed. I know a person that signed a Bahamian for 16 work permits. How many of those people work for that? Like, hang on, how many of those people actually work for him? Zero people work for that. Now, I have a work permit, and I'm going to put this to you. I have a work permit for a particular person that came to Abaco, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this person's work permit, now, he don't know nobody. This man just touched down. He's paying somebody that got his work permit. He's paying somebody every week for the permit. He's paying for everything. So he's being exploited. Now, if our prime minister or the prime minister before them or the prime minister before them had the will, and I'm going to use the word will because this is what your topic is on today. You could walk into immigration today. You could call your director of immigration. You could say, listen to me. Tomorrow on my desk, I would like to see anybody that has more than 10 work permits in our country, right? That's it. Get that list and take three people from immigration. Say, I want you to find out on these people, these 400 or 500 or 300 people, out of those two, these all of these people have are their INB, the national insurance, the NIB, are they paid up to date? Do they have a company and a current business license? And let me tell you, 300 people, you would be able to whittle down and basically get rid of all of the issues you have going on in this country when it comes to illegal immigration. Because what's happening is, and this is why it's not a popular play for any prime minister, because you would be surprised, Mr. Lang, to know some of the people that actually sign and are collecting money on a monthly basis from workers.
Okay, all of what you say, all of what you say is real and true, right? But, my friend, I don't have to guess on the issue. Let me just stick closest to home. On the issue of the prime minister, I know. The prime minister, I know. Okay?
Yes.
See, you have a system. You have a system. That what you're saying to me would be like saying, because murder and rape and all those things happen, even though God, that it is against God's will, then God therefore had not the will.
No, what I'm saying though, no, Mr. Lang, you're taking out of context.
I'm saying that what you would be saying to me is that a Hubert Ingraham, as an example, a Perry Christie, as an example, a Brad Davis, as an example, is sitting down saying, well, I ain't going to touch nothing having to do with immigration because I know this one and that one and the next one and so forth and so forth. And that's what you're saying.
Okay. So if that's what I'm saying, then let's look at it this way. You have the head of our country, which is the prime minister, which I really like Brave Davis. Okay, that's our prime minister. Now, he has a department head. This is like any organization. I run my business. That's a department head. You pick up the phone and you speak to your department head and say, listen, why are we not dealing with this? I have the will. So I know for a fact what you're saying makes sense. I agree with you because I ask myself the same question. Why would somebody not want to address this or deal with this?
Let me give you another story. Hold on, though. Here you go. Since you're dealing with the prime minister current and you're talking about, there is today a committee appointed by the same prime minister to do a review of the processes, et cetera, at the Department of Immigration?
No, fantastic. I'm not blaming Mr.
What I'm saying, it's not a question of your blaming. That we're not getting there. What I'm saying is, we are talking about will. You make the point of calling the department, and I'm saying the current prime minister appointed a committee from the Government of Public Institute appoint a representative on the committee to review the workings and processes at immigration.
Okay, so that is a step in the right direction, of course, right?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
My point, though, when we talk about will, let me give you a quick story. So under the last administration in Abaco, there was a burnt down hotel, which was called the Elbow Key Club. In the Elbow Key Club, a gentleman bought the club and he was doing a large project. But what ended up happening is they had an influx of Haitians that live in there, 100 Haitians there. Now, under the last administration, you had this person, the town council, you had myself reached out to many people about dealing with it because you had little children living there. There's no running water, no bathrooms, no this, no that. Nobody did anything.
Right.
Now,
right.
The PLP was about to come in, and the PLP said, listen, we need to get some things going. We need this. I said, listen, if the PLP is going to help and address this situation, I am behind the PLP because the FNM was not doing anything about the situation. All I'm trying to tell you when it comes to the will, three weeks after the PLP won the election, 3 weeks, I got a message and said the cavalry is on the way. They came in and they cleaned up the entire area in a humane way. But anybody that they caught that didn't have a work permit, they had to leave. They cleaned the area up. They said no children can be in here, and they took care of it. My point is, Mr. Lang, you've been in government, you run companies. When there is a will, there's always a way. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Can
you and I agree on something? Can you and I agree on this? Maybe it's weak will.
Well, like I said, it sounds like at least we're going in the right direction. But I think if some of the resources go the way that you're saying they're going now and they have these committees, this could be fixed. All I'm saying is we can't give up on it because it could be fixed. There's nothing wrong with legal immigration. We need labor in this country. That's a fact. But we have to clean it up. We have to clean it up.
I agree with you 100%, my friend. There's a great deal that's not involved. By the way, you asked me if I had somebody on work permit before. When I operated a farm, in order to get the farm up and running, a European company sent two people for 30 days on work permit for the farm that I was running. That's my only experience with it.
Well, I can tell you it's difficult now. If you try to get anything, it's done. It's very hard. And I feel bad for people that are legally here because they cannot travel. Like, my guys have to go home they go home for Christmas, they spend 6 weeks, and they come back. And at the end of the day, they can't even travel because they don't have the card in their hand. They only have a receipt. So it's very challenging, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So
anyway, Reverend Morris says we have to have political will. My assertion is maybe it's imperfect, maybe it's weak, but I cannot see a prime minister not wanting to stem the flow of illegal immigrants in the Bahamas. Now, I do think that we suffer from small country patronage syndrome in the country. You want me to say that again? It's called small country patronage syndrome. Okay, that's P. C, P, S, P, C, P, S. That's what we have in the Bahamas. Small country patronage syndrome. So you may want to tackle a broad issue, and the government may have the will to do that, but that person, that's a big person in the society. Well, that's one of my great, great supporters. And they need something done. That's a big investor in the country. They need something done. And so sometimes your system gets bent to accommodate that patronage. And so it can undermine, some of your situations. We've seen it the other day where the Department of Immigration sought to do its job at the point. It was doing their job involving some 60-some Chinese and Haitians now, and got a call, leave that alone. Poor small country patronage syndrome. you're listening to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand, everybody.
For your financial future with RF Bank and Trust, explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over two decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
Spice up your taste buds this season with the new Jalapeno Rodeo Burger at Burger King Nassau. Each bite of the Jalapeno Rodeo features a classic flame-grilled beef patty, pepper jack cheese, crunchy fried onions, and a spicy jalapeno kick, topped with barbecue and chipotle sauce served on a soft potato bun. The Jalapeno Rodeo Burger is even tastier in a combo with our new half-seas, half onion rings, and half french fries with a drink. Or cool it down with the new and delicious creamy floats collection at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Seven of Canada's most prestigious boarding schools will be in the Bahamas on January 11th for the Canadian Boarding School Fair. Join us at Sandyport Beach Resort from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Nassau Cruiseport presents Phil Stubbs Live at the all-new Nassau Cruiseport Amphitheater.
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m., showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at BahamasETickets.com.
General admission $50, $75 VIP.
Prepare to be blown away as we kick things off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists. You're raking and scraping with Ira Store and Nisha Live.
Sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. Nassau Cruiseport, the place to be.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, come take my hand,
we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Just so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 3242-300-5720. You can, from the Family Islands, you can text us on 4224796, or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. Let me ask you a question. And that gentleman who is who called just a minute ago, maybe he can text me an answer. And if he will be ever dealt with immigration, maybe you could text me an answer. Who signs the work permits that are issued to persons? Who signs it? The work permit is, the work permit of the Bahamas is a very official document. This ain't no little flimsy copy piece of paper, right? Who signs those work permits? If somebody could text me, let me know, please. Is it a junior officer who signs it? Or is it signed by an assistant director of immigration or a deputy director of immigration or a director of immigration? Tell me whose signature is on the work permit. That's very important, because sometimes I get the impression that we believe that the issuance of these documents happen at such a low level that anybody could willy-nilly just issue these things out. But tell me who signs them. Now, who signs them has to have done the due diligence to ensure. Well, the expectation is, can I put it that way? That person has done the necessary due diligence to ensure that these people have appropriately being issued this work permit. Now, I'm not telling you that's what happens. I'm saying you have to imagine and expect that this work permit is being issued in accordance with the law, in accordance with government policy, and in accordance with the issuance of a work permit. This isn't being issued by somebody who just got hired to work at immigration yesterday. It isn't being signed by people who sit at the immigration station there at the airports and the harbor and all of those processing folks, as far as I'm aware. Who's signing these immigration papers for work permits now? I wouldn't even talk about permanent residency. Permanent residency, you don't get to get that without a cabinet agreement. Can I tell you that again? If you see somebody with permanent residency or with citizenship in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, that was issued at the approval of the Cabinet of the Bahamas, the Immigration Board. That's how that works. So tell me who signs the work permit. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, caller.
Hey, good day.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I'm just going to go back on this one situation that happened under this administration.
Okay.
Of when the when Mr. Bell had issued the work permits and that thing that he's ordering. Now, if the Prime Minister Jeff had a chance like to curb it, like after I see that he moved him, he changed his state or where he was, which was actually a good move. But the removal of the top leaders who were underneath him after they had moved, the whistleblowers, I would call them. So I feel like they were in place to do something good, and he moved them. So I didn't think like he did something good there.
Okay, okay.
So.
I got you, brother. Thank you so much. Right. Appreciate it. So this text, listen to this text now. This text says, Mr. Lang, the modern versions of work permits are not signed. They have a QR code. Now, think about that now. So you go from signature, which could be forged, to a QR code. Now, who do you think is applying the QR code to the work permit? You think a junior person is doing that? You think that's being done by just any willy-nilly person? Isn't that something? So if you think that there is massive corruption with your work permit process, and I'm not saying it is or isn't, but if that's what you think, then you got to question even the upper echelon of your organization and say, what y'all doing? I mean, administered, and why would you do a QR code? You know what a QR code does? QR code permits you to really have a digital digital pulse on the information you are gathering or using in respect to tracking the things that you are doing. It makes for easy facilitation, easy, because you scan that code and you could do any number of things in terms of tying into your information network. Do we have a call on the line? Because I'm hearing some. No? Okay. So it's not junior people who are doing this, all right? So political will, I would say, the questioning of political will, I would at best say, maybe the will is imperfect. Maybe in some instances more than others is weak. Maybe, okay? I say that. Now, Dr. Morrison also said that illegal immigration is an existential threat to the Bahamas. You know what existential threat means, right? Existential speaks to your very existence, to your very being. What does existence mean? Existence means uniquely occupy a space in time. That's what existence means. So if in order for you to exist, you have to occupy space, and you have to occupy that space in time. That's what existence means, right? And so for him, there is an occupation, a unique occupation of Bahamianism in space and in time, and that illegal immigration is an existential threat to that. So I'm thinking about it, right? And I'm thinking, okay, so I have four children. My two best friends on planet Earth together have 9 or 10 children. All my classmates from high school, many of whom I know are Bahamians as I am, right? Of several children. So that, so somehow there is a notion that whatever is happening in the way of illegal immigration in this country will undo legacy, my friends' legacy, my brothers and sisters' legacy in Bahamianism, that we shall not exist one day as Bahamian because illegal immigration is happening. What does that mean? Does that mean that if my son marries a Haitian woman, right, whose parents may have come here illegally, does that mean that the mixing of the genetic code of my son and that Haitian woman has all of a sudden undone Bahamian? So the Haitian contribution could undo the Bahamian, but the Bahamian contribution cannot undo the Haitian. Can you hear me? Anybody hear me? My son's Haitian blood, my son's Bahamian blood cannot undo the Haitian blood contribution to that child. But the Haitian contribution could undo my son's Bahamian contribution, because the Haitian contribution is so much more powerful than the Bahamian contribution, because God made the Haitian contribution more potent. Is that what I'm hearing? So what if this was what if my son married an American who was illegally in the Bahamas, their parents? What if he did the same thing to a Canadian or a Norwegian? Would the contribution, his Bahamian contribution, have been diluted? What does that mean? What does it mean? Huh? So Haitian culture is so much more powerful than Bahamian culture. That Bahamian culture will bow to knee to Haitian culture and therefore eradicate Bahamianism from this country. One day, because of illegal immigration in the Bahamas, there'll be no more junk canoe. There'll be no more crab and grits, crab and rice, boiled fish, crab and dough. One day there'll be no more Phil Stoney. Because that's what it takes to eradicate Bahamianism. And this will all happen because of a process that has been happening in the Bahamas now, going on more than 100 plus years, where we have had people illegally, and I don't give them any credit for doing so. If you come here illegally, you're wrong and dead wrong. Who have been coming here illegally from Jamaica, from Turks and Caicos, from Haiti, from Cuba, from China, from Canada, from America, from African countries, from Latin American countries. They've been coming here from European countries for years, not in the same numbers and degrees, but for years and years and years and years and years and years, they've been coming here. We had people of Haitian descent in the first parliament of the Bahamas. Mm. we are so impotent in our cultural identity, so impotent in our genetic makeup, so impotent in our sociological traits. We are so impotent that anybody could erase us. We've been erased already, we say. We don't have and share necessarily the same horror over the incursion of American pop culture on the Bahamas, of Jamaican reggae culture on the Bahamas. Maybe not. But that illegal immigration culture, because it's illegal, that's the one that will be our undoing. That's the one. See, no more crab and rice. The devil is a liar. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivaga Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Hi everyone, Dazzy here. Listen, after 50 years of independence, to be a Bahamian in today's world also carries with it the responsibility of global citizenship. Tune in and sit with me. We'll discuss international news, finance, economics, pop culture, and trends that affect us as Bahamians not only locally, but also our contributions and opportunities beyond the rock. Beyond the Rock with your host, Dazzy, begins January 16th, 6:30 to 7:30, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Are you ready to catapult your business into the spotlight? Introducing Guardian Business Boost.
Ignite your success, and it's absolutely free to join.
Yes, free. Guardian Business Boost is not just a program. It's your ticket to unprecedented visibility and growth. The Guardian Media Group is committed to helping the Bahamas prosper by creating new opportunities for small businesses who are the key drivers of that growth.
How does it work?
It works by first registering your business with the Guardian Business Boost at thenassauguardian.com. Then each month, Guardian Media will pick and boost 5 businesses with 1 month of free ads across our multiple advertising platforms. The Nassau Guardian newspaper, website, Guardian Radio 96.9, Star 106 Hits, and all social media platforms. Catapult your business into the spotlight with Guardian Business Boost. Sign up for free today at thenassauguardian.com.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Can I remind you that Nassau Cruise Port presents Phil Stubbs live at the Amphitheater on Saturday, January 13th. Join Phil Stubbs, Nishi Ellis, and Ira Storr and the Spank Band for an amazing night of pure Bahamian music sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. General admissions, $50. VIP, $75. Skypods are also available. Get your tickets now at bahamastickets.com. That's Phil Stubbs and friends live at Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, January 13th. Don't miss it. But you know, I heard on Dwight Dozer's show, and it was so morning blend. It was so nice to hear some of those stories that were the basis for some of the songs that he sings. And his voice and his singing sounds just like from seeing from day one. Phil Stubbs, there you go. Okay, so we were talking today about Reverend Morris's sermon, the Majority Rule service, just looking at some of the things that made the newspaper about what Reverend Morris said. We looked at the issue of political will to stem the tide of illegal immigration. At best, we agree, maybe the will is weak. At worst, I'd say you can't say the will is non-existent. I can't say it. Then we looked at the issue of the existential threat. You know, I challenge that issue simply because I do not believe it. God is the author of nations. And look at, if you test every so-called pure born-bred Bahamian, if you test us genetically, we have contributions from all kinds of people, black, white, all kinds of nations, man, having been moved from Africa, the black ones of us, I'm talking, from Africa to these parts and having had all kinds of things pass through our enslaved history of our ancestors and so forth and so forth. Even the white ones of us have all kinds of contributions. You just look at the genetic mapping of us. But then it's genetically a Bahamian. Is Bahamian a genetic something? Can't be. So we can't be talking about the mixing of somebody who happens to be maybe legal, maybe illegal. Is that what we're talking about? Socially, what are we? What are socially, culturally, what are we? We have implants of other cultures in all of our culture. We, you know, that's why we have what we call a classic or traditional culture, and then we have what neo and modern culture. Cultures evolve because people evolve and get, you know, young people in the Bahamas will embrace new things, will even evolve new things. So can become that existential threat is a question I think is worth exploring, right? Then Dr. Morrison mentioned that at a school, and he did say at a school, that there are an incident of Haitian children waving a flag and daring Bahamian children to do something about it. Now, this is deep for many reasons for me. Deep for many reasons. Now, can I tell you that my information is, the information I have is, so far, there has been no confirmation that such an incident has occurred. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. But certainly from what has been investigated so far, it ain't no widespread anything, right? So it may have been an isolated incident, something like that. But from the information I get, this is not a prevalent issue at all. And Dr. Morris used it as something that could be challenging, right? Now, for the reason I look at the issue before, see, we cannot be governed by fear. The Bible says that fear brings bondage. So if you are fearful, you are in bondage. And that's why I point out that the genetic stock of a Bahamian, the genetic culture, the culture of a Bahamian, et cetera, all these things are subject to evolution, but they are powerful and potent in and of themselves. And look how long they have endured these many years. Notwithstanding, we have entertained millions and millions and millions and millions of foreign people to our country on an annual basis. Anyway, so here's a problem. Here's what I see in the example used by Reverend Morrison. First of all, if you have children, you know. If you've been around children, you know. Children are teasers on a endless about all kinds of things, especially when they feel like you are belittling them. Especially when they feel like you are trying to alienate them. To try and establish their own importance in the world, they will do any number of things to try to tell you, I matter in the world. I matter in the world. Children are teasers, man. Sometimes viciously teasers. I've personally experience with my family member, an incident where children, and this wasn't even at a public school, this was at a private school, teasing the child, poking the child butt about things and so forth and so forth, and teasing. How many children have been bullied at school all over the world to the point of committing suicide or wanting to commit suicide? Because children can be really, really bad that way. So if a child or a set of children who even may be of illegal Haitian parentage decide to do this, and why would they do this? They, by invoking their own cultural instances to be looked on negatively or disparagingly, decide to do that. Is that a police problem? Is that a University of Bahamas problem? Or is that a school issue related to keeping peace and civility and good order? Which one is that? Now, if it rises to the point of potential violence, I mean, like, so if you come across such an issue, what would you do? Report it to the guidance counselor. Report it to the principal. Report it to teachers. Who would be expected to do what? Try to help to resolve what could potentially be a conflict between those students. To do what? To say what to the Haitian child? You ought not to be waving a Haitian flag around here? Or to say to the Haitian child, you know, you have to have regard to your country in which you live and recognize the unique situation you have and therefore want to avoid being provocative in the situation. Try to help people to embrace what is a cultural heritage you have as opposed to trying to put it in their face so that it could be on as adversarial. What else is supposed to happen? Is my child supposed to go home and be scared of that? Did any of the Bahamian children raise the Bahamian flag and say, yeah, you raise your flag, I raise mine higher? You got pride in your heritage, I got pride in mine? What is supposed to, what was supposed to have happened in that circumstance? When we talk about our African heritage, what's wrong with that? Some of us now embracing heritages we have in other parts of the world because we've done these genetic makeup things. What are we supposed to do with that? I think just because a person comes here, if even if their parents came here illegally, and I know many who have and who are now, having been done so by law now, Bahamian citizens, etc. What are they supposed to do? Ignore, reject the cultural heritage that they have as Haitians, as Jamaicans, as Trinidadians, as Americans? Would you, when you become an American who lives in the Bahamas, I mean a Bahamian who lives in America and even takes on American citizenship, then you become a Bahamian who lives in Canada and even takes on Canadian citizenship? My son lives in Canada right now, working there, having graduated and on work permit in Canada. He's a Bahamian. What do you want to eat? Crab and rice and all that kind of stuff. You wave the Bahamian flag in Canada. Not to be provocative, of course. What are they supposed to do? What is that example supposed to say to us? Actually, is the question I raised. This text says, Mr. Lang, my sister and her husband, both of whom are Bahamians, have lived in the U.S. with green cards for about 30 years. They have a Bahamian flag in their house. I know of other Bahamians who have that too. And they continue to celebrate the Bahamas while they live in the U.S. This is not unusual, so it's not surprising to me that Haitians living in the Bahamas do the same thing, neither to me myself. This text says, how did he know the legal status of the children's parents? Exactly. I don't know. Let me tell you all something. This text says, great show as usual. Is the problem in the school and in the society between the Haitian and Bahamian self-inflicted? I'm asking this because we call the Haitian Bahamians or paper Bahamians, the Haitians, were actually never socially accepted in the society and probably never will, just my opinion from my own. Maybe I hear something. Dare I say it. The Bahamas is already a melting pot of Caribbean souls. In our first iteration, the Bajans were brought here to be a part of our civil service as police officers, as educators. Trinidadians as educators. Guyanese as educators. We had the British here for the longest time, right? Here as educators. Many of them came here as single swords. Some who didn't come as single swords came as married swords. The Indians came here, were brought here as educators. You think that these human beings, just decided, okay, let me be isolate and no women worry about these Bahamian, and didn't marry in the Bahamas and marry Bahamians, did not engage and have Bahamian, have children born in the Bahamas and have Bahamian children? Huh? Of course they did. We know that to be true. We know today how many Bahamians can say, my father are of Jamaican heritage, my father and mother are of Bajan heritage, of Trinidadian heritage. We have in our upper echelon of the society, in our political leadership, people married to people whose original citizenship was not this Bahamas. We got the married Americans married to Canadians. And this ain't just happened. I grew up with people who were married to Canadians, married to Americans, married to Haitians, married to Jamaicans. What are y'all trying to undo now? What we need to do is work with others to try and stabilize Haiti. If we can interdict Haitian sloops and other illegals coming to the Bahamas, as the defense forces charge to do, and they do. When we get people here landed illegally and we find out, arrest them and take them through the process for deportation, except that they are political refugees, legitimate. If we find that others harboring these people illegally, we deal with them. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. We shouldn't run we should be careful not to create. We have some text here. Let me read the text. This is so important. I am amazed at the reaction to persons embracing their heritage. We see it in countries wherever Bahamians are. Absolutely, boy. Listen, Bahamians? Being Bahamians wherever they go? Child, please. Say, hey, bro. Ah, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I will definitely be reaching out to you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, Mr. Lang, everyone was brought here. But being a Haitian, I think, have a negative stigma attached to it. Example, call someone a Haitian, will end up in a fight. That's true. We call someone a Canadian or Indian or Greek and no fight. That is true. I ain't no lie. Children used to call children Haitian as an insult. Ignoring the great legacy of that country and what it meant for the break from colonialism and enslavement. Of course, Haiti's dilemma has created for Haiti a huge psychological challenge for those who see that dilemma playing itself out decade after decade after decade. Of course, that is true. Of course, the illegal Haitians who have found themselves living in substandard circumstances in the country that may, in some instances, bring disrepute on their presentation of themselves in the public and what have you. Of course, that is true. But, man, let me tell you what's happening, man. Trying to take the pride out of somebody from what they know to be the beauty and grace and the, and achievement of their people is like trying to take out of the Bahamian the pride and passion of Count Salad, the pride and passion of the things that are so near and dear to us, like Junkanoo and stuff like that, man. Man, how, but what I'm saying too is that horse then bolted, man. that melting pot of integration that has bolted for us. I'm not saying that we are to open the floodgates and keep letting people come in. If we could stop them, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, listen, man, this notion that sometimes gets stirred up that there is us and them, and we need to be careful to protect ourselves from becoming undone because of them. We got to erase that. Erase that from our narrative. Erase it. Because if all the Haitians, if all the Jamaicans and all of them now start coming to the Bahamas legally, but your children fall in love with them, then what? Then what? You are going to be undone because your weak genetic contribution is going to be undone by their powerful genetic contribution. Your weak cultural identity, your weak. Please. Please. I have special friends in my life whose heritage is Haitian. Very special friends. When one of them had a birthday, I asked, on this day, on your birthday, you tell me what you want to eat, and I shall fix it. I shall get it for you. You know what it was? What the request was? Curry goat. Guess what is true? What did I just have the day before for my own self? Curry goat? And they fix meals, etc. Sometimes it is meals that are typical of the Haitian dishes. Sometimes it's Bahamian meals. God help, we should be so diverse. Some of us couldn't fix a non-Bahamian meal to save our life. Thank God I could do some Asian dishes. I could do some Italian dishes. I could do some European dishes. I could do some Trinidadian dishes and so forth and so forth. Thank God. And learn a little bit of versatility because I love it. Man, let me tell you all something. Push our politicians to enforce the law, man. Every day, I have no problems with that. Push them. Enforce the law. Trying to be creative and find ways to ensure that we could stop people from breaking the law. Yes. But listen to me, man. Ain't no people on planet Earth, in my view, are an existential threat to us by virtue of their illegal migration. There is an existential threat that some people pose to us. Any country on planet Earth with nuclear weapons, that can be an existential threat to all of us. All of us. Any country or people with biological weapons who could invoke those in a global war or a regional war could be an existential threat to us. The continuous undermining of the environmental integrity of the planet is an existential threat to us. Any hurricane of significant force, of sufficient force, could be an existential threat to us. Illegal persons? I don't see it. That's just my 4 cents on the matter, though. You may well see it otherwise. We have a caller at the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I'm listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Knight.
Good day.
I'm listening to you, and I can agree with you, but there's something else that came to mind while you were talking. And it made me realize that, yes, it could have just been, if the incident happened at all, it could have just been just the kids playing around. But we all can also look at it from another angle, as to say that it could have been possible that the kids were just taunting the behemoth kids. Like I said, if I don't ever see that happening, it doesn't sound right to me. But if it happened, it could also be that the term was just being disgusting because it happens to children.
I said that that is possible, and then that means that you have to talk to these children and say to them, listen, man, you cannot be doing such a thing that could create conflict between you and others. I said that. I acknowledge that. It's true.
Yes, because it's a sign of bullying.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We don't want to start something like that in our schools because we already heard about incidents in Abaco.
We don't want kids doing that, and parents shouldn't want kids doing that. Absolutely, no. You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And guess what? If the situation already, why would you want your Haitian child or a child of Haitian descent doing that to be provocative?
You know, because if you look at it, most behemoths, and I wouldn't say most because I can't speak for most of us, but I would say, in my view, my child is in school. And I feel like he's outnumbered already. So it will put a certain type of fear in me that, hold on now, my child is one of the few.
Man, you are not outnumbered in no school, man.
No.
There are some schools that certainly have a higher percentage of children of Haitian descent, but there ain't outnumbered in no school, man.
Well, could be. But like I say, that's...
No,
that's
man, y'all ain't outnumbered in no school, man. No, you ain't outnumbered.
Listening to what happened in Abaco, it really does, like, now hearing that these kids with the flag situation, if that happened, that don't...
So let me ask you a question. But what's the problem with that? I see Bahamian flags waving in the United States.
Bahamian raised their flag. Well, the set that I've seen done it in the U.S., because I had a cousin living in the U.S. for years, and he has a Bahamian license plate on his dashboard that he keeps.
Right.
And he has a Bahamian flag in his seat there and saying... pushing it in nobody's face, so to speak. See, that's...
But let me ask you, No. Hold on one minute. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You live in the Bahamas. When last that happened to you?
What? You mean with...
Any Haitian pushing the Haitian flag in your face?
It has never happened to me.
Has it ever happened to any family member of yours?
I'm almost as old as you are. It has never happened to me.
Has it ever happened to any family member of yours?
Not that I know of. This is the very first time I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, so I'm saying this. I'm saying even if these things happen, these isolated cases, we can't make of them something, man. You know how many Confederate flags get pushed in the faces of Black Americans? But that's not all over the United States.
Yes, I've heard of those.
What I'm saying is we have to measure these things out so that we don't make them appear a universal reality.
Yeah.
I heard a fella earlier today say he's in the food store and he was outnumbered. What food store he been to?
I don't know because I go to the food store. I've even visited the Haitian food store and I wasn't outnumbered.
Exactly, right?
One or two person in there that was Haitian, and that's the cashier and whoever helped him.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's been.
Mom, I'm so glad to hear your voice. Thank you so much for calling.
Have a good day.
You too, ma'am. This text says, I hope I'm one of them, but you ain't asked me what I wanted on December 21st. This text says, so back to my point, they were never accepted socially. Mr. Lang, if you ever invite me to a function, I don't eat curry goat. It smells rank. You ain't never taste curry goat we make. I don't know. You guys go talk to some people, other people. Let me show you how to make it so it can smell good. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller.
Yes, good afternoon, Chivago. How you doing?
Hey, my Anton boy, Anton is something else now. Anton gone on vacation break from long before the holidays.
You gonna take the whole holidays off? Leave me on this show, doing this show all through the holiday. Dwight wouldn't even give me a break. I'm trying to turn this corner off, man.
Let me start off by saying Happy New Year 2024, Shabago, to you.
Thank
and your
you,
family.
Man. Thank you.
And also to the nation and God's most choice blessings to us all on 2024, right?
And to you too, my friend. To you too.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But I needed to take a break and try to enjoy some family time, you know? And
I don't forgive my jealousy and envy, man. I'm happy for you.
Look here, Shabago. Look here, and I have been listening to the conversations, right? since the New Year came in, and I've been holding my head with some, I've been stumping with others.
You are very disciplined. Very disciplined.
So look here, I'm also found myself wondering, should I take a longer break? But I'm listening to this conversation. I'm listening to this conversation this afternoon, and I just wanted to weigh in because I feel like it's a very important conversation that in many instances gets lost in the emotionalism that follows the national conversation and challenges that we experience on immigration.
Right.
However,
right.
Let me start by saying I want to agree with National Party Chairman on his recent statements regarding Haitian nationals and our country, right? I agree with him wholeheartedly. I've been expressing that view to our country and in particular to our leaders in the government for quite some time. And I believe that we've been on the wrong footing as it relates to how we've been approaching addressing the illegal migration issues, right? I want to say that I support in many instances what Prime Minister Davis had to say, but I've also observed that we have lost our footing as well in relation to what he says and some of the things that I saw being executed because, you know, at the end of the day, we have the ultimate responsibility to guard our borders, right? And in so doing, if persons are able to get into the country and communities are allowed to exist, because the government has full authority. Communities are allowed to exist, and those communities are allowed to exist in such a way that when you seek to minimize communities extinct, it impacts so severely other aspects of our society, then you have to have a real conversation, right? You have to do away with the emotionalism, and you have to make practical decisions that will benefit our society, the advancement of our society, while seeking to make inroads to bring to some level some normalization of the migration challenges that we experience in our country, as well as the importance, give the importance and the weight to the migration labor factor and component, which goes hand in hand with the advancement of many of our leading pillars in our society, especially construction and farming, right? And so saying that, laying that foundation, I want to jump now to what Bishop Morrison said yesterday. I was there, Shabago. I had two headphones plugged into my ear, right? Because I was just focused on doing what I was just right. But when I heard, I happened to have a break in between something that I was listening to, and I heard what Bishop was speaking about, I tuned in immediately. And a lot of what he said made a lot of sense to my mind, and I was able to rationalize with it. Some of what he said I had some concerns with, but on the point with the children raising a flag in the school, what I wanted to express in terms of what he said, what he started out saying was the children raising the flags are doing that thing that that no one else is to come into this territory. That's the point, or that's the wicket that he made that point on. He only raised it to say that there is such a challenge in his view on migration, illegal migration in the country, to the point where you have the children who are raising flags and telling the other students in the school, don't come into this area. This is our territory, which I cannot support in any way, shape, or form. That, to my mind, that raised a lot of flags because that was news to me as he revealed that. He also revealed in his communication that in some schools, the population of migration or migrant students is up to 60 to 70%. I was astonished by that. I don't recall him stating what schools he was referring to, right?
But Antoine, and we know that some schools have significant percentages of children of Haitian descent. But why would that be surprising? Let me give you an example. I went to Louisiana Primary School.
Yes.
It had a very high percentage of children of Haitian descent. But why wouldn't it? Louis Yard itself is where they migrated to.
Right,
and so that school became a caption area for them. So wouldn't a similar scenario exist, for instance, on Carmichael Road and other places? So that's not unusual.
Absolutely. And from that perspective, that's why the intelligent dialogue that further questions every point that was raised is so important, Chivago, in order to bring calm to some of the conversation that was had, because as we know, the conversation regarding migration or illegal migration is a very emotional one among Bahamians.
Yeah.
And we have had some political persons in the atmosphere who has been unfortunately creating further hysteria and based on false information on top of that, which even worsens the scenario.
Let me thank you for bringing that perspective about the flag too, because we didn't hear the whole speech.
I did not hear
the whole speech, but I think that's an important perspective. That if the example was, again, to be clear, my information is that they have not been able to figure out where this has ever happened yet. But if it's a territorial taunt, that's entirely different than a pride taunt.
Right. Absolutely. Rich, let me also add, Chivago, I 100% wholeheartedly agree with the points that you were making, because, look, if I'm a Bahamian, and I am Bahamian, no matter where I am in the world, I'm going to stand proud as a Bahamian. I don't expect any different from any other nationality in this country. No different. And anyone who expects different, I believe that you don't recognize we're operating in a democracy and not a dictatorship, where you actually tell people what to do and they do it because they don't have any other choice. We are in the 21st century. We have moved away from that kind of society. We don't operate in that. I don't want to see that kind of society for me, nor my children or my children's children, whenever that time comes. Okay, and so I believe it would be quite immature and foolhardy of anyone to expect that Haitians, Jamaicans, Trinidadians, Barbadians, Americans, Chinese, Japanese, living in our country, should not have a healthy, profound expression of their pride, their country. That is just human nature. But I'll go by saying that, look, I believe that, in my view, the government has to make the right decisions, not decisions that are popular with the Bahamian people. The government of the Bahamas, Prime Minister Davis, Minister of Immigration, Minister of Works has to make the right decisions in these regards. We have to examine what makes up our society, how long has it existed in our society, what role the government has played in allowing it to exist in our society, and make an informed decision that will work in the best interest of all parties at the end of the day, and not make an emotional decision based on a populist view that is going to destroy the economy and that is not going to bode well for human nature at the end of the day. That is my full encouragement to the government of the Bahamas, and I implore Minister Fred Mitchell to please continue in the light that he's speaking in, because he's speaking in a right light. Do you understand, or did you hear his statements recently, Chivago?
I did. I haven't weighed in on it yet, but I found it quite interesting for sure.
Yeah, it was not in line with a lot of activities that has been taking place are sometimes necessary in order to bring about the sensible change that we need for the advancement of our country. Thank you for the opportunity.
I appreciate it. Yeah, man.
And God's blessings.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, my friend. Okay. This text is, good afternoon. I don't think it's priority for them as they have accepted it or will accept it. It will always be here. So, yes, in a way, they lack the will. They do just enough to be relevant, just what I see. They all play a part in our culture, American, et cetera. Unfortunately, you see it in our crime statistics. But I agree, we must be sensitive to all. I never refer to Haitians as Haitians because I see them as I would like to be seen, as an individual. And I constantly correct friends in a lot of instances. We as Bahamians are wrong in our approach. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, our final break, and pay our respects to our sponsors. But just before I do that, can I remind you that Nassau Cruise Port presents Phil Stubbs live at the Amphitheater on Saturday, January 13th. Join Phil Stubbs, Nishi Ellis, and Ira Stowe and the Spank Band for an amazing night of pure Bahamian music, sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. General admission $50, VIP $75. Sky Pods also available. Get your tickets now at bahamastickets.com. That's Phil Stubbs and friends live at Nassau Cruise Port on Saturday, January 13th. Don't miss it, all right? Right after this final break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-64.
Nassau Cruise Port presents Phil Stubbs Live at the all-new Nassau Cruise Port Amphitheater,
January 13th.
Gates open at 7 p.m., showtime 9 p.m.
Book your tickets now at bahamasetickets.com.
General admission $50, 75 VIP.
Prepare to be blown away as we kick things off with one of the Bahamas' beloved artists. You're raking and scraping with Ira Store, Nishi LS, and Phil Stubbs Live.
Sponsored by Kalik and Ron Ricardo. Nassau Cruise Port, the place to be.
Seven of Canada's most prestigious boarding schools will be in the Bahamas on Thursday, January 11th for the Canadian Boarding School Fair. Come meet with schools from across Canada. Generations of Bahamians have attended boarding school in Canada to prepare them for the demands and expectations of university. Canada is safe, secure, culturally diverse, and extremely welcoming. Join us at the Sandyport Resort from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m.
RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over two decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same
road. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM for the moments of the show. If you want in these last moments to call us, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325 431-6325-4316 from the Family Islands. You can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi,
Hey, I'm right here, man. How are you?
All right. Mr. Lang, you asked a question earlier if anyone believed that if the government had a solution to the immigration problem, they would not implement it or something like that, right?
That was the question, yeah.
Yes, I mean, well, it's a good thing it's a belief now, but I believe that, Mr. Lang. I believe that they would not do it, you know, and the reasons why I said it is because I feel as if it's beneficial to them in some kind of way, you know, because if it's one thing a government needs in these times is distraction. A tool of distraction, and I feel as if the greatest tool of distraction that they have at their usage is the immigration thing. To the point.
So hold on. So let me get this straight. I'm not rushing you. So take your time. So let me get this straight. The government of the Bahamas decided, I could fix and solve illegal immigration, but I need this to be able to distract the Bahamian people. Let me tell you something. So you believe, you really believe that you don't just have incompetent people. You believe that you literally have the most wicked people on planet Earth in your government.
I know that government's distraction. To distract the public.
And how do you know that? You've been in government before? You've been the government before?
I didn't hear you, sir.
How do you know that? You've been the government before? You've been in government before? You have verified that is true?
I haven't been in government before, Mr. Lang, but I understand, through my research and through my stuff like that, I realize how the government has
these distractions that they keep from fixing problems because that's the way to distract you. You know that to be true.
Yes, sir. Tactics. Yes, sir. Certain tactics. Because, Mr. Lang, see, the thing about it is that what it does is that it keeps individuals from discussing or focusing on the things that are important. You know, because, I mean, if you look in our country, Mr. Lang, the immigration issue is the most emotional issue that you could bring up among the people here. It is something that together, regardless of political persuasion, regardless of religious belief, no matter what they might have as their philosophy, when it comes to the immigration issue, the majority of Bahamians will come together and unite on that, and they'll get really emotional. As a matter of fact, there's no other issue that you can bring up other than, you know, aside from immigration, that they get more emotional over, you know? So the thing about it is this, Mr. Lang, is either you can do it or you don't want to do it. And in that case, I ask that to say this, what policies or what strategies that you can say significant that have been put in place by either one of the prime ministers that you have mentioned earlier that are being still used today by our various government agencies responsible for that part of governance. You want an answer?
You want an answer or you want to keep talking? Could I give you an answer?
Definitely.
One is called the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. One is called the Department of Immigration. One is called the Royal Bahamas Police Force.
Okay, so Mr. Lang, what strategy did any of the prime ministers who you call put in force? So one of the prime ministers you call, I mean,
well,
put in force, well, police well, force, well, defense well, force, well, and, put, and, but, immigration.
Yeah, of course, but I mean, but they either you can put something in place or you keep something in place because you could always take some away, especially if it helps you, as you said.
Yeah,
take
but,
it away.
But do you feel, Mr. Lang, that good governance would be if you come into power, right? And you meet something in place, and you just leave it in place without restructuring it or without doing anything to it to make it, you know, improve or run more efficiently. Do you feel as if that's good governance?
Yeah, but first of all, it isn't a question of what I feel, because you already established that they ain't good governments, because you say that they could probably have a solution to it and keep the thing because they need it as a distraction. So what I feel is irrelevant. I'm dealing with your thoughts on the matter now.
Yes, sir, but the reason why I ask if you feel that way is because you mentioned something about them keeping the things in place.
But if you keep it in place because it's useful, that means you're good government.
Yeah, but if you don't improve on it and it's not working,
how could you say to me the Defense Force doesn't work? You're saying the Department of Immigration doesn't work? That's what you're saying to me?
I'm saying they can work more efficiently.
This is how some of you go, right? So you could work more efficiently. Let me ask you a question. How efficiently does it work? Tell me. Give me a measurement. Tell me where you get that from.
Well, we get it from the complaints of the public, Mr. Lang, that they're not doing their jobs and there needs to be some improvement. But
does that mean that it wasn't working better before? Now, could it not have been improved but still needs to be more improved? Is that not possible?
I don't quite understand the question just now, Mr. Lang.
No, I'm saying you could have a complaint about something right now today that you say could work better. But it could have been working worse before, and it could be better now, but still could be better later.
How about if I look over the entire history of that thing, right? And I see that from its conception.
But you ain't did that much work, so you can't give me that. You ain't did that much work. Where are your writings? Where's your report?
Because
you all like to come on the show and make statements that are not grounded in any evidence. It's just your opinion. And if you had said to me, I believe, I'd be okay. But you said, I know.
Well, that's different. But I know, sir, because I began the conversation with my belief.
But you said you know that the government would have a solution to something, not provide the solution because they need that thing to be a distraction. That's what you said.
I started off by saying, because you asked if anyone believed the statement that you made earlier.
But you went from belief to no. I understand that. All of our conversation is tied to this no knowledge you say you have. All of this.
Yes, I said I know that governments use tactics to deal with the population, Mr. Lang. That's what I said.
All right.
And one of the tactics that the government uses is distraction.
I got you, my friend. Thank you. Appreciate it.
But Mr. Lang.
We gotta go. I'm not gonna let you keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. Do we have another caller on the line? Producer, do we have another caller? No? Okay. This text says, excellent show, Mr. Nine. Your views on immigration are sensible and reasonable. We need more voices like yours on talk shows. Thank you very much. We try. I'm coming from yourself. Thank you. Ah, boy. This says, Mr. Nine, why do people think all our crime is going to be stopped? The great show, as usual, illegal immigration will never stop because our lust for cheap labor. Boy, we like to use people for cheap labor. Anyways, so I have no belief that our dialogue on immigration is going to temper the passions of some people about this issue. I have no delusions about that. This is a deeply felt issue for Bahamians, deeply felt issue for Bahamians. Some Bahamians are, no matter what the rationale, the sentiments run deep. And I understand it. I understand what it feels like. I really do, to believe that I can't stop you from coming in my country illegally. I imagine that that's what Americans feel like. I imagine that that's what Europeans feel like, to have the throngs and throngs of Nigerians, I mean, seeing their countries to go to those countries. So I understand that, what that is. And I understand any country wanting to ensure that its laws are being enforced, that its borders are being protected. That is a duty. That is a fundamental duty of government. So as aggressively, as impressively, as innovatively, as creatively as a government can do that, a government should do just that, for sure. And I dare say, after it has done all that it can do, it will still find itself, from a mere geographic point of view, incapable of preventing the smuggling, the influx of illegal to its shore. Still find it very difficult. Very difficult. Not impossible in all cases, but very difficult in all cases to do so. Very difficult. Impossible because, I say not impossible because one day maybe Jesus, the Lord Jesus, will give some wisdom that might ain't give it to nobody on the planet yet. But maybe one day. Right? So that said, if you are illegally in this country, as an example, if you're illegal in this country, you are breaking the law of the Bahamas. And if you are illegally in this country, you ought not, in that circumstance at all, to seek to be provocative to anybody and any soul. You ought not to. And I believe most never try to do so. Some may. The most don't. And if you get caught and you are prosecuted, that is as it should be. But there are many, the children of such, who know only this country as their country. And it is to our great shame that we would do anything to cause them to believe anything other than that this is their country. If they haven't availed themselves of the opportunity yet to apply for citizenship or haven't gotten it yet, that has nothing to do with the matter, which is that this is their country. And I've said to you before, Paul said, he is not a Jew who is a Jew outwardly, but he is a Jew who is a Jew inwardly. For there are some Jews who by their practice show that they are less of a Jew than some who are non-Jews, who by their practice show that they are Jews. There are some who by their heart and behavior and conduct show that they are Bahamians. More so than some who say they are Bahamians, but by their behavior and conduct bring dishonor to the Bahamas. What do I want out of anybody who is here, legal or illegal? A devotion and a dedication to this country and an interest and a commitment to its well-being. That's as much as I could hope for, work for, and have people, God's people, who are here. And that's why I hope in our dialogue, in our speeches, and all that we say, it is never, 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 never devoid of that one essential element that God has called us all to. A humanitarian empathy for the dignity of the human person made by God. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. I trust and hope that you have a great remainder of the day. He spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God bless you. Take care.
Way. So starting today, I'm breaking out of this cage.
I'm standing up, I'ma face my demon.
I'm manning up, I'ma hold my ground.
I'm fed enough,
now I'm so fed up. Time to put my life back together.
This is Guardian Radio, Nassau, Bahamas.